That's amazing. So I said, my name's Andre. My wife Jenny, from if you maybe met her over the last few weeks, she's not here tonight, but just to that you know, she would love to be here. Sends her regards from where she's working at the moment. Yeah, and we'd love to meet a lot of you and all of you over time. So, and thanks for the opportunity to share with you tonight. So maybe, and I know Johan said put up your hands and they feel bad for some of the guys to put up their hands for new people. I want to pose a question where I want to start tonight, and I want to ask you, who of you like to wait? Who like to wait? Only one. Two. Is there more? All the people that like to wait, can you maybe stand for me? Okay, so we've got you in a trap tonight. Because if you like to wait, you can stand for the whole show, for the whole preacher. Now you can sit. Okay. So waiting is one thing I think that you see not a lot of people like to do, is to wait. And what do we wait for? We wait for maybe, you may be on a phone for a call center, you may be in a queue somewhere to pay your groceries, or you may be even looking for a job, or maybe buying groceries, or maybe trusting God for healing, or maybe trusting him for a breakthrough in some way, or even trusting him to know where in this current church, as we are, Brackenfell, you need to serve for the next season that you're in. So this is part of this. So this is some of the forms we actually need to wait. I'm going to get my timer right as well. And if you look at that, I think scripture is also very important regarding waiting. I don't know if you know that, but there's more than 50 scriptures in the Bible talking about waiting for God. Not waiting on somebody else, or waiting for something else, but waiting for God. Or waiting on God is a term that I also use. So very important. And for that, I've just said, for this afternoon, let's answer a few questions to see if we can maybe bring a bit more clarity about the thing, how to wait on God. I think so. So I want to start with the first question, and that is, why is waiting not easy? You actually saw that there was four people that actually got up. So waiting is not something that's easy. And why is it? So the first reason why waiting is not easy is that we as humans want quick results. And we're actually living in a society that I've changed a lot. So it's instant gratification. If I can't get it now, I don't want it. Or I want to change it like this. So this is why waiting gets a challenge for us. And then second reason, maybe the uncertainty about how long you'll wait. And I'll share a bit about how long you can wait a bit later. Is how long you can wait. And that's trust. Even if you need to wait long, you need to start trusting God how to wait. Third reason, and that uncertainty that you've got can create anxiety. Or you maybe worry, will I get an answer? Or is there no doubt? Am I waiting for the right thing? Is it maybe not just something out of my own? So this is some of the things that can happen there. And then we look at people like Abram. And I don't know if you like to be Abram, but Abram waited 25 years for the promise of a son. And if you think 25 years long, Moses waited 40 years. Caleb actually waited 45 years just to get his promised piece of land that he was promised. And Joseph, 13 years. So people would get used to living after waiting for a while. And we don't like it. We want it. If we can't have it now, I don't want it. Or I give up. Not maybe I don't want it. Sometimes if I don't get it now, I give up. So this is what I want to look at it again. So I want to maybe go a step further into this. And I myself currently, I'm not going to go into this because there's still a piece of work that God's busy with, a piece of testimony. But I'm currently, for one thing in my life, waiting for 5 months, and for another thing, for 4 months now, that I'm trusting God for an answer. But I know he's busy working. And it's sometimes difficult. It's not easy. But one thing he showed me, and he said, if I can almost want to make a comparison, if you say waiting equals shaping. And that's the thing we need to remember. When we wait for God, or any way we wait, waiting equals shaping. Because he's shaping us. He wants to make us ready for whatever he wants to use us for, whatever he prepares us for. So what does waiting on the Lord, or for the Lord, mean? So I'm going to go to scripture, Isaiah 64, verse 4. If you can maybe put it up for me, thank you. For since the world began, no ear has heard and no eye has seen a God like you who works for those who wait for him. I want to read it again. For since the world began, no ear has heard and no eye has seen a God like you who works for those who wait for him. Amazing scripture. I was blown away when I actually read that scripture. So if you look at it, and then you look at what does that waiting word in Hebrew mean, and that word means kwava. That's the, if I hope you pronounce it correctly in the Hebrew. But that means the following. So it's not a passive waiting or trusting for God. So it's not something I'm just like we're sitting on this chair and I'm lying my bed or I'm waiting. And hopefully God will answer at some point in time. That's not what it is. The first definition or meaning of that, it's an active, eager hope. Active, eager hope. So that to look for God's intervention with confident expectation. You expect something. What do? You just sit folded arms and you just, oh, it will happen. Is that expectant? So it's expectant. You're waiting expectantly with confidence what God wants to do in your life. Take that definition a bit further and you can put up that picture of that rope for me, please. So the second part, how you actually explained it with Quava, is like binding together. So it means twisting or binding together like a strand of rope that you'll see there. So you see that the rope is twisted in the strand, so it makes it stronger. That's what the definition means for waiting. So you and God are so close, entrenched into each other, that you actually form a strong rope like that. This is what it means. And then the third one, defines a strengthening. So it's a gathering strength and waiting for the Lord. And Isaiah 40 verse 31, scripture I think a lot of you knows, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings of eagles. They will run and not go weary. They will walk and not faint. This is just that strengthening that you get by waiting on the Lord. Okay. So just maybe look at, so waiting on the Lord is not just, as I said, something passive. It's an active, confident expectation. Of what, and then wait for God's timing as well. We sometimes, as I said, we want it instantly, expecting it must happen now. And God's timing in character rather than the passive idleness. So this is what it is. So it means to almost remain before him. And so that I remain before him. He said, Father God, what do you want for my life? What do you want to teach me through this that you're waiting me for? Praying and trusting him, Lord, What do you want to do? What do you want me to learn out of this that you're actually giving me for? So on your knees, and with that, trust him for the promise that he gives you. And it's a focus that he is working. I think we sometimes want to look at and wonder, how is he working or when will he answer? But let our focus change to more than is that he is working and that he will answer, than maybe how and when he will answer and how we will do it. I think that it's something just to encourage you guys. If you wait for God, change your attitude towards that and change it to something that know that he is working and that he will answer. Okay, maybe a third question we can look at, and that is, why do we have to wait for the Lord according to the scripture, Isaiah 64 verse 4 we said. So the first reason, and this is probably the only reason we need to wait, because it's in the scripture as said, because he works for us if we wait for him. If we don't wait for him, he can't work for us. It's as easy as that. And I just wrote here, wow, what an amazing promise. that he wants us to wait so that he can work. And going back and just got just God is so great. If you look at all the other religions around us, if you look at you can call them. What's the big thing about all those religions? What they have to do for their God, not what their God wants to do for them. So, and that's an amazing difference, and it's a crucial, huge difference. That it's not what we do for the God, but what God wants to do for us if we allow him by waiting on him or for him. And it's almost, and this is there's something that actually strikes me when I read this. It's our gospel that we've got is a no help wanted, but help fully available immediately or whatever else from God. So it's a no help wanted, but help available from God. We allow him to actually help us. And if you look at it, that same scripture, our action needs to be to wait on God. His reaction on our waiting is to help us. So just make it clear and easy. So he works on our behalf, for that, that's what it means. And this is a unique thing of our Christian faith. And going back to Scripture, we can go back, and we've seen it in the Old Testament with a lot of the kings. And I'm just thinking of a king there as well, Asa. I don't know if you've maybe read of King Asa. I think call it Asa. A prophet came to him. The prophet's name was Hanani. He came to him, and he actually says to him, "You must wait for God, and then you go and attack the king of Aram." He decided, "No, I can't do that." So what I'm going to do, I'm going to contact the king of Aram. I'm going to go to him and get a treaty from him. So I'm going to make an arrangement that he won't attack me. And if you read that scripture in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 7 to 9, you make me make notes, you can go in 2 Chronicles 16:7-9. If you read what happened there, because he didn't wait for the Lord, what happened to him? He was, for the rest of his life, he was at war with everybody that around him. There was no peace because he didn't wait for God. I think it's just important to know that again regarding the waiting. Now, how do we practically wait? I think the third question. I don't know if anybody, if you want to answer, but I think great question and great answer. Thanks, guys. I haven't given you an answer, actually, opportunity to answer. So, how do we practically wait for God? And it's never, as I said, just to reiterate you guys, it's not a passive waiting. If we wait for God, it's an active waiting. And the reason why maybe mention that a few times, because we tend to wait passively a lot of the times, but we need to actively wait for him. And how do we actively wait for him? And we can actually look at it, that meaning of that word waiting again. So you can use an example of maybe a doctor if you want to, a doctor and a patient. We've got doctors here as well. So there's three meanings of this word waiting. The first thing is almost a pause and consult in prayer. So the first thing is I go to God in prayer and I ask him. And I think what a lot, and that's something that everybody can do. The smallest little baby or little child here can actually also pray, but also the oldest person in this room. It's not limited to certain people. It's not limited to certain places. And the beauty of that is you don't need to be these eloquent, long prayers which we pray and just asking and asking and asking. It could be basic things. We just ask the Lord, "Lord, help me. I need to make a decision on this. I've got this meeting now, Lord. I need your help in this meeting. God, I trust you for healing." Like we're trusting for a lot of people that's healed, for Tracy and some of the others. It's just short, quick prayers that we can actually use. Just by that, "I need your favor, Lord. I need a breakthrough in this situation." Don't need to be long things. But this is our first point of how we wait on God. So it's only through prayer. Not only through prayer, it's through prayer, which is the most powerful thing we've got. And important as well, so there we look at the scripture, and 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. I'm not going to put it up there, like a nice and short one. Pray without ceasing. And you know what that pray without ceasing means. It's almost, they say, you take an army battalion. So they take and they strategize and they go and attack. It's a lot of, then they come back. Then they strategize again and attack. So you pray and attack. The prayer actually brings attack. It's the same thing. So this is what it means. So this is the first meaning. It's just pray and consult God in prayer. And that he can start working wherever he wants to work. The second meaning is stand still or stand firm and let God do it. That's almost like if you've got a doctor and a doctor will tell you, but you may be burnt out a bit, just go and rest. You don't need to do anything, you just need to go and rest. So this is second one. So there's examples of that, and you can maybe just put up Exodus 13:14 for me, please. Thank you. So, but Moses told the people, "Don't be afraid, just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm." Now, just to bring some perspective on this, is when they were at the Red Sea, just coming out of Egypt, and the Egyptians were on their way and getting all the closer. So this is where God works. So you need to stay calm. God will do the work. So this is second way of that meaning of waiting. The third meaning of waiting is then we get a bit of active. And this is where you need to act, get up and do something. That's your third meaning of that, of wait and act. And I'm just going to read the scripture, but he might work through you acting. And a good example is David, when he attacked Goliath. We started working. There's other examples as well around Jericho, where they walked around the wall of Jericho for 7 days. So the scripture there I want to read for you is just from my side, Isaiah 41:10. It says, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." So this week we got asked you to go and work. So you might say, go into battle and fight. But just the remembrance, that's maybe something, a caution here. It's not just go and fight. I need to wait and then go and fight. So that waiting stays all the time. So I need to be waiting on God through prayer. God, how do you want me to fight? How do you want me to attack this? How do you want me to approach this thing which I need to go and do? So this is the three meanings of that word waiting. And you see, there's a lot of examples in the Bible that we can go. So just to summarize this little part, sometimes God will say, just pray and pause. Sometimes he will say to you, stand still and let me do it. And sometimes he may say, act on it and do it. We cannot assume also that it will be every time it will be the same thing. Every time we just have to maybe going to ask you to attack or whatever the way to be. And we can go back to, again, who's the guy? Moses. We can go back to Moses. So Moses, once, the first time he needed to heed the rock. Second time God said, speak to the rock. And what did he do? He went back and did his old way. He thought this is the only way to do it. And if he did the rock again, what was the concern? What was the end result of that? He didn't enter the promised land. So again, the obedience part of that is if God says this, whichever one of those three you need to do, stay with that and follow that. But the important thing is this is your wait on him so that he can start acting. Okay. I want to move a bit further. We were now sort of in the Old Testament. So I just want to show you a scenario in the New Testament where waiting also was crucially important. And I think it actually drove through to us as well today. Could have had maybe huge effects if they didn't wait. So if you look at Acts, the book of Acts, the first four chapters, I'm just going to read some verses at Acts 1 and verse 2. But I want to show something of where God actually, through Jesus actually said to his disciples that they need to wait. And then they will receive the Holy Spirit. So let's see what that scripture says, Acts 1, verse 4 to 14. "Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, 'Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking, 'Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?' He replied, 'The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.' After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. And they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white robed men suddenly stood among them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven the same way that you saw him go.' Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of a mile away. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room, the house where they were staying. Here are the names," and I mention the names. We can go through from Peter right through. We can go to the next verse. "They all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. During this time, when about 120 believers were together in one place, Peter stood up and addressed them." And then he continued, and he can maybe just continue to the next verse. He said, "Brothers, the scriptures has fulfilled concerning Judas. Okay. 100%. "Who guided those who arrested Jesus. This was predicted long ago by the Holy Spirit speaking through King David. Jairus was one of us and he shared his ministry with us. If you go, maybe you can go to verse 14 for us. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women and brothers of Jesus. So what happens if you look through the scripture, and we can go to the second Acts 2 as well now, verse 1 to 3. On the day of Pentecost, all believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And then there what looked like flames and tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them. So this is where it was. So just to get back to this piece of scripture, and I want to ask the question. So here they were also commanded to wait. And my question to you, the question I thought about, and what if they've decided, and they said, but no, there's such a threat here from all these Jewish leaders and all of this. We're not going to do this. We can be killed. What, maybe just a question, what would have happened if they didn't wait for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? God would have probably made another plan, but what would have happened? Just a question from that. And as I said, if we look at that, what happened with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the rest basically history, powerful history. We look at what happened to Peter and John when they went to the temple. And afterwards, when that 12,000 people were actually got to know Jesus. And what all of those had happened? Because they waited as they were commanded to wait. Paul's another example, just with the Holy Spirit that actually came down. So as we come to land, I just want to get to a point. It was interesting, something that I've read from a guy called Wayne Stiles. And I don't know if you've maybe actually ever read. He's got a book called Waiting on God. And what he writes in one point of the book, he said, we want happiness first. God wants holiness. We want pleasure. God wants purity. And he said, just like waiting at a red signal or maybe a red traffic light. If you skip that signal or that traffic light, we can, and at times do, get into an accident. Same way, if we jump ahead of God because waiting seems just a waste of time, we will get hurt. Waiting is a process through which God changes us more than changing the circumstances. And I think that's important. So to focus on that part of that, we sometimes get so irritated because we have to wait. But let's get our eyes focused and wait on God. And God loves to work through those who wait for him. That's to summarize here. But in a world, we mentioned it earlier, of instant gratification, waiting for God has become not normal. So it's difficult. I don't know if you experience that, but you need to go and sit and wait on God. It feels strange sometimes. If you don't exercise it to wait on God, it seems strange. It's sometimes uncomfortable, you feel, because you're not used to that. To wait for God often times requires a deep level of faith and courage. I think that's faith building as well. And many things look good. And I think what we need to remember is it can look good, but it's not in God's timing or his will for me or for you, maybe at this point in time or whenever you ask. Maybe we can give it to you at a later point. He first wants to do some more work through us. So he wants to form you so that he can use you the way he wants to use you and he planned to use you. And then patience is a form of waiting. Okay, if you look at patience, they say patience is not the ability to wait, but how to act while you wait. That's interesting. So the next time you find yourselves waiting for God for an answer, remember there's six requirements that we call for patience or for waiting on God. I want to the first one is to trust God, trust him, that his timing is always right. It takes faith to trust God, to wait on him. And we can actually, there's also scripture that says, if anything too hard for God, he knows when the time is right to give what he wants to give you, what you've asked him for. Second one is patience. And that, not going to go to that scripture, but if you make notes, Psalm 37, verse 1, verse 7, and verse 8. Do not get anxious, because God's timing is always perfect. So that patience thing. Then the third one, almost a requirement for you in waiting, is courage. And that's, if you look at Joshua, in Joshua 1 verse 9, you can actually go if you want to just make a note of that one. Then the fourth requirement for waiting and to waiting for God is determination. It's not something, if you don't, it almost force yourself to wait and make the decision that I'm going to wait. You sometimes can just say stop because it's too difficult for me to keep waiting. The next one is strength, to keep waiting even when the pressure mounts. Ask him, God, give me strength, and God, I can wait for you. And then the last one is endurance. So just hang in there. Just God, he knows best that he can answer at the right time for you. And as you wait, dig deeper, and I think sometimes that's where the active waiting comes from. As you wait, dig deeper into God's word. Don't just sit, dig deeper into his word. Spend time in his presence. And at the end of the day, you'll find yourself wrapped in his arms and surrounded by his love. So we need to almost learn when we wait for him to lock eyes with him, to focus, that's all we see. Makes it easier to do. And then focus on Jesus and not on the waiting itself. I think that's the important thing we need to do. So just to end off, I just want to share something short. So there's something in my life that I've been waiting for close to 40 years now. And I want to share a bit of that. So about 40 years ago, I had a calling, a full-time ministry. Something happened in my life at that point in time, financially and stuff, that I couldn't pursue what I wanted to pursue. So God, I was taken out of basically full-time ministry, studying and becoming full-time ministry at that point in time. And life went on. In the day, a few years later, 1998, so that was in 1986, when I had a calling that God needed to take me to full-time ministry. Still waiting for that. But then in 1998, God gave me the opportunity to plant a church about 2 kilometers from here. And the church is still running at the moment. Again, I thought, while planting the church, God might be taking me into full-time ministry. What happened? He didn't at that point in time do that. And I'm still continuing in the marketplace where there's also a reason why I'm in the marketplace. Why that full-time ministry probably didn't happen? Because there's people's lives that I need to touch and need to affect. Being faithful to him and being a witness to him and a light to him. Yeah, so this is something out of my life. So at this point in time, I'm still trusting God is busy moving in my life, and this testing maybe for another time. But just to let you know, it can be something that goes long, but God's busy working and forming you to actually for that time when he wants to call you for whatever he wants to call you. And an important, maybe just the last question, I mentioned it a little bit earlier, but now while we're also building, or while God's actually planting a new congregation now in Brackenfell, all of us sitting here got some role to function, some role that you need to fulfill. You're not here by accident. You haven't by accident just chose Brackenfell. There could be people that followed somebody, but then you're here. So I think the important thing for us, each one of us as we're sitting here, is to really trust God. And even if you don't know, go and sit and wait at God's feet and ask him, what do you want me to do in this season? What do I need to be involved in? Where do I need to serve you in this season that I'm in at the moment, where you've placed me? And then let's just want to motivate you with that as a last thought. And let's grab that and run with that in that season. Because God haven't placed you in this specific place for accident. So I just want to make you a little bit of maybe just think of the importance of waiting on God. I think that just want to drop a few. And I know, I would love, I don't know, maybe you're not, and maybe in a process of waiting, but I want to just extend something now to us. And I wonder if there's anybody of you that's at this point in time waiting and trusting God for something. It could be whatever. I want you to stand and come to the front. We want to pray with you just tonight. If there's anything that you're trusting God for, that you've been waiting for. And then I want the leaders, if some of the leaders can just join me in front so that we can just, if there's anybody that needs prayer in that way. So whatever it may be, if you're trusting God for healing, if you're trusting him for a breakthrough, maybe for work, for a job, for something, whatever it may be. Now's the time. Let's trust God now. This is part of this waiting process, but let's get somebody that can carry that load with you.